TalkNetwork.com, and we are very glad to be with you again today, as we are every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Always a joy, always fun to bring the Word of God here to all of our listeners scattered in different places around the globe. Wherever you are, we are glad you are listening today, or maybe you're going to be listening to this at a later time on podcast or on our website. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, along with my wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Elsberry, right here in the studio with me today. Hi, hey. Pastor Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. We're going to be joined by Cindy Henderson, one of our radio team from Idaho, in a little while. It's so fun to come and do this show, isn't it? We love it so much. I don't know if fun's the right word, but maybe it is. I mean, we have fun doing the show, so I guess
fun,
it is.
And it's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's uplifting. I mean, I walk out of here every time I'm here feeling like my faith's been pumped up more than it was when I came in. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, and I feel like I've accomplished something when I leave here. I feel like I've done something for the kingdom when I walk out the door.
And that is exactly what we've accomplished, something for the kingdom of God. Our goal at Beacon of Hope Ministries is and has been for 17 years now, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. I mentioned that today on purpose because it goes right along with what we're going to talk about today. Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. There's not a one of us on this planet that at some point, if not quite frequently, have been hurting in some area of our lives because of different situations that we can't encounter in life. And today we are going to bring it right home to what happens when we feel hopeless? What happens when we feel like the things we thought were going to happen a certain way, those things didn't happen the way we thought they would? We're going to bring it around to heaven, of course, which is our goal, and our series is still Forever Home. We're going to change that soon, I think, but not sure. Just waiting on God for direction there. Pastor Jim and I have been talking about whether we do more teaching in the book of Revelation or wait a while. I know he's ready. I'm just not sure what God's saying there on that. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. Cindy Henderson, there you are.
I am here.
Woo! You are here. So good to have you on the show today. I missed the last time you were on. I was in Indiana. And so glad you have, number one, joined our team, and you were a part of our church locally a few years back for a few years, and then moved away, as has many people. How they can move away from paradise here in Clearwater, Florida, is beyond me, but I know you had a reason. So,
I did.
Yeah, okay, so we'll forgive you for that. But you know what? We're just so glad you're still with us, though. You know, this is wonderful. What a joy you are. I imagine you want to give a shout out, and maybe Pastor Jim does too, to his dad. Do you want to say anything to your precious dad, a pastor?
I love my dad amazingly, and I'm so thankful for the spiritual foundation that he and my mom set for me from before I, the time I was born.
Right.
And I think that's a big part in me surviving this far.
Right, absolutely. And the, our heritage is so important, isn't it? And no, and how we and we've not all grown up in Christian homes, so to speak, or with even loving parents sometimes. Some of us have grown up with abusive parents. But for those that were blessed enough to grow up with Christian parents or good parents, so to speak, what a blessing. Right, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to those who are raising children right now, you can't bless them with any greater gift than giving them that spiritual foundation.
Right.
That will carry them through the rest of their lives.
Oh, it's just so important. So important that we do that. Pastor Jim, you want us? You get your dad is still alive, which is a real blessing, considering how old you are.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, my dad is 87. So yeah. Shout out to my dad.
Sure.
Called him this morning early because I knew they were going to be going to church and out to lunch and all that. So I called him early this morning and wished him a happy Father's Day. And
right.
Even better, I talked, you know, I got a call from my daughter. That's always wonderful.
That's always good, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my dad's in heaven, so I cherish, though, the upbringing and growing up as a pastor's kid and a missionary's kid and all of that for evangelist child, all those years of growing up in the Word, and it's just been a blessing in my life, and he's enjoying his heavenly reward. But I did have a chance to talk to both of my sons, Mark and Ryan, a little while ago and wish them happy Father's Day. And Ryan and his wife, Mary, are actually, and I just found this out on Mother's Day as I was driving to the studio. This was bizarre, Cindy. I got a call that my son, Ryan, and his wife, Mary, are expecting their sixth child in December.
Good.
Pretty cool. And they have grandchildren. They have the twins are their grandchildren and my great-grandchildren.
You have a bunch of grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
This is number 12 coming up, and it's just very exciting. So, it's really fun. And so for all you fathers out there and those of you who have fathers alive or maybe don't, we just appreciate the role that especially godly men have had in our lives. You know, it's just, it's amazing. And you growing up a preacher's kid too, Cindy, that's a special little life, isn't it? For those of us.
It is. And it's not all fun and games and roses.
No, it's not. That's what I mean.
it can be very, very difficult and traumatic and unfair in many ways. I think it takes a special personality to be a minister.
Oh, it does.
A pastor.
Yeah.
And I think it can, if it's not handled correctly, can do damage to kids.
Sure does. Yeah. Aren't preachers' kids the worst kids? Look at you and me.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. Well,
Pastor Jim is getting ready to say amen right now. I know it.
I know he was. I thought, oh, Lord, put thou a seal on my lips.
Right. Yeah. So, but it is. So we thank God for all our fathers and especially for our Heavenly Father, which we're going to talk a whole lot about today on this show. We're glad you've joined us. First song coming up by the group Casting Crowns, Thrive. I love this song. Here we go.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts
just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just know our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
to thrive, not just survive, children of God. And I love one of those lines in there that says, just to know you, into your word we're digging deep, to know the Father's heart, into the word, God's word, we are digging deep, Cindy. We want to know the heart of the Father. Why is that important, Cindy? Why is it important to know the heart of the Father? Woo!
Because when you know the heart of the Father, then you are doing His will. You have a purpose. You
yes
can fulfill your purpose.
Right.
There's blessing.
Right.
In the heart of the Father, it's intricately woven into why we're here.
Exactly. It's so important that we learn the Father's heart, Pastor Jim. I think a lot of what I'm trying to get at, and Cindy's right, all the blessing, we need to know what He wants to do for us, the good Father. But He also, we need to learn that He is not the picture that so many people have painted of God the Father through the years. You want to amplify on that, PJ?
Well, yes, I would love to.
Because, all right, he would, Cindy.
Well, and I would. It's funny, before you mentioned good Father, which we sang this morning, the Chris
right.
Tomlin song, we sang that in church. He says, you know, many have this idea about who I am.
Right.
And especially in this day and age when we have pastors who are perverting the picture of the Father.
Right.
I mean, I have no other way of saying it.
It's exactly right.
You know, as a hard taskmaster, as a legalist, as, you know, as an evil sort of God.
Right.
And, you know, not a loving God, not a God of love, not a God of compassion, not a God who wants to be involved in people's lives, but a God who sits up there ready to smack you on the head.
Absolutely.
At, you know, the least little thing you do.
And that's not the nature of our
Father. No, absolutely not. And I think that, you know, God's got a really bad rap through the centuries. And I know it just irritates me because I know God is a loving Father.
Absolutely.
And it just irritates me to no end when, oh, he's a God of judgment. Okay, but he also sent his Son to die for you so you wouldn't have to go through judgment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And I think in some cases, I think people would rather focus on that just so they don't have to deal with God on a personal level. You know, any excuse, or I don't have to deal with God. And yet, eventually they're going to have to anyway. I just read in Philippians chapter 2, you know, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to have to bow.
Yeah.
In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory
of
God
coming.
The Father.
That day's coming.
I'd rather be doing it willingly now.
Right.
Than unwillingly then. And I just think people, because their idea of who God is, either because of what they've seen or heard pastors preach, or because of their own experiences with their own father, and that can really...
That can be part of it for a lot of people.
Well, and it certainly colored the way I looked at the Lord for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was all works-based instead of grace-based.
Right.
And I think we just need to be aware of that. And even more so than we need to be sharing the love of God and what that God is love, that he loved us enough to do everything he could for us to avoid judgment.
Absolutely. Which brings me to John 3:16-17. I probably quote these two verses more on these shows than any verses in the Bible. And they're so well known. But a lot of people know John 3:16, but they don't know verse 17. Here they are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's a giving God. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's verse 16. A lot of us know that verse. It is about our forever home, everlasting life. Verse 17 is equally important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be and should be saved. And that's the difference right there, I think, PJ, for a lot of people. They are so concentrated on people being, you're going to pay for this. And, you know, that kind of attitude. And they ascribe that kind of bitterness and anger towards God the Father. And he is not that. God so loved the world.
Well, absolutely. And it brought back memories of my... freshman year in college, some 45 years ago now.
Long time ago.
Long. And when I got saved, and there were a couple of street preachers. In fact, they made it into the Ball State annual that year. And they would always be out there near the arts building screaming.
Right.
And I had just become a Christian, and I knew something was wrong because... It just didn't sit right.
It turned
in my
everybody
spirit.
Off.
Well, it did, they returned shouting for shouting.
Yes.
And I don't know that any soul ever got saved out there from all their ranting and raving, which is too bad. Because people need to be confronted with their sins; otherwise, they don't know why they need to be saved.
Right.
But you have to offer them salvation. You can't just say, oh, you evil people, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent.
It's not like that, no.
Well, okay, first of all, I got to repent, but why? What's in it, you know, why? What's the provision?
Right.
And I don't recall them really talking about Jesus' provision.
Right. And how your life can totally change. We're going to see this in John chapter 21, if you have your Bible and want to join us in the Bible there, because these were disciples that walked with Jesus for 3 years. They lived with him. They hung out with him. They listened to his teachings. And they heard him say that he would die and be raised again. But it was something that was very hard for them to understand and to really believe that that is what is what had happened. And so he does appear to them. And this is the third appearance of Jesus to certain disciples, seven of them, on an interesting morning, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But I'm back to this point, and Cindy, I just wanted you to comment too about the fact that God is a God that is loving. He cares about us. He knows our failures. He knows our problems. And we're going to see that in John 21. None of us are perfect. Not all of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:23, it says right there. But, and the wages of sin is death. And that's Romans 6:23, right? Mm-hmm. And, but the gift of God is eternal life. And this series is all about that gift, eternal life. Right. Talk to me, Cindy. Talk to us.
Well, Christians are God's greatest asset on earth. They're also the greatest liability.
It's a good way to put it.
I've met Christians that if I weren't one already, I wouldn't want to be like them.
Right, exactly. We all have, like, yeah.
Exactly what about your God would I find appealing?
Right, exactly.
You're angry, you're judgmental, you're crude, rude, obnoxious, mean, unforgiving, not compassionate, if you have to beat someone into submission,
right,
then it's not true submission.
Right.
It's, you know, and so I think that there are factions of Christianity. Unfortunately, some of them are very, very large, that there's no grace.
No grace.
There's no mercy.
Right.
There's no power of the Holy Spirit. And unsaved people look at that loud vocal group and run the other way.
Well,
so they they're doing a disservice to the kingdom.
Absolutely. Go ahead, PJ. You're right, Cindy. Well, good point.
What enhancement is there to come to this God of judgment? I mean, you know, I don't want to minimize that, because yes, God is holy. God is totally pure. And yes, evil will be judged. But God took care of that on the cross.
Yeah.
When he sent Jesus, right. What we have to do is accept it.
Yes.
And if we make our belief in Christ, in Messiah, so unpalatable to everyone else, then yeah, they're not. Why should I? Why should I follow this God that obviously hates me?
Right. And that's where a lot of people get hung up, and I don't blame them. Let's look at John 20, verse 30 and 31 before we start John 21. Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. By the way, any of you out there that doubt that, there's signs all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, things that Jesus said and did. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And in the act of believing, now here's where it gets to our series, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it In other words, why are we doing this show today? Why do we do these week after week? Is to point you to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and show you why he did this, why he went to the cross, why he came out of that tomb, a risen Lord, and to encourage people to start a new life walking in his presence, showing you his attributes and the stuff, the ranting and raving that happens from some pulpits across this nation in particular has a lot to do with fear-based stuff and condemnation of different people groups and all of that. Pastor Jim is trying to get a word here, Cindy, and then we'll go to you.
But as we've said before, fear is not faith. Anything that's based on fear is not going to, it's not going to work. It's not going to last because fear is the opposite. I mean, how many times is it? 365 times in the Bible? Fear not.
Fear not.
Don't fear.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Spoken, promises of God, one for each day of the year.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. And we should have awe of God. We should never take him for granted or look at him as that big Santa Claus in the sky. But we don't have to be afraid because Jesus has gone in there before us.
Right.
He's gone into God's presence, taken his blood. We can come boldly, the Bible says.
Boldly to the throne of grace.
To the throne of grace.
Woo! Absolutely. Cindy, comment before we do this next song.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that there's 365 mentions of do not fear in a book that was written thousands of years before we had our current calendar here in America.
Right.
And had our time zones and all those things, where we have 365 days in a year.
Yeah. So, well, that just shows you how great God is and how much he knows, right?
Exactly. And I go back to, there is therefore no condemnation.
That's right.
For those who are in Christ. And that's the bottom line right there.
So the good news today on this Father's Day 2018 is that God the Father is full of love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. And he says, I want you to learn to walk in a life of love. And we're going to see that here in John chapter 21. If you want to grab your Bible and join us here, we're going to do a song by Hillsong that every once in a while I play one of my favorites. This one is Show Me Your Ways. Old song, we've done it at Beacon for years. Love it.
Show me your way that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope. Thank you.
Amen, God. That's the cry of our hearts. Show us your ways, Father God. We want to walk with you. Put my hope in you. John chapter 21. Jesus had already been out of the tomb, a risen Lord, a couple weeks, I think, about this time, probably, Pastor Jim, because he had already appeared twice to them, so this is
right,
the third.
So and that second one came a week after the resurrection.
Week, so,
and it takes a little while to travel up to Galilee.
Right, so here he is in Galilee, and John chapter 21, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. And it mentions seven of the disciples, two not by name, Simon Peter, Thomas, that was Doubting Thomas, remember him, Nathaniel, and James and John, the brothers Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." All right, why are they at the lake going fishing after they have just experienced, been walking with the Master for three long years? They have been very busy in the work of the ministry right alongside Jesus. And then they have gone through this really amazing time of seeing him crucified and then him appearing to them twice already. And they're out at the sea where they used to hang out all the time. And they're gone back to what is familiar, which we do so often, Cindy, in our lives. We have a trauma or something happened to us, and we go back to what is familiar. We slip back, you know, into old patterns. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's our comfort zone.
Right.
whether it's comfortable or not.
Right. Exactly.
They were fishermen.
They were fishermen, yeah.
They probably grew up in families that were generational fishermen. So,
absolutely.
They went back to what they knew.
To what
and,
they knew.
They sometimes when your leader leaves or is taken away,
right?
You wander, you flounder a bit,
right? Sure.
Because you counted so much on that leadership, on what was happening when that person was around, and it can really throw you for a loop.
Oh, it can. Absolutely. And we think it kind of did them because the rest of them said, well, we're going with you. Okay.
Right.
They didn't say, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be off preaching somewhere or talking about Jesus? No, they didn't. That wasn't even where they were coming from. They were like, yeah, we're going fishing too.
And they had each other. They had each other too. That was their group for three years. And that too was comforting and familiar to be in that group with like-minded people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it says here in about verse 3 and 4 of John 21, they went out and they got in the boat. Now, the next sentence is pivotal to this whole chapter. In my opinion, they caught nothing that night.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about nothing, and I want to talk about night. Because so often we have periods of time in our lives where we feel like we hear nothing from God. That where is he anyway, and why am I back in the situation that I thought I broke out of? You know what I mean, Cindy? And then we'll go to PJ on that. You know, there's those times in our lives where it seems like God is hidden. We don't hear from him. And Graham Cook calls that the times of hiddenness, right?
Hiddenness.
Right. I love that. You introduced me to Graham Cook, I absolutely love his writings and his ministry. But that there's a whole teaching he does on hiddenness and how so often in our lives, God seems to have just fallen off the planet. We can't find him, and some of our listeners may be experiencing that or have experienced that. Go ahead, Cindy.
I'm going through that right now.
All right. Okay. Well, that's interesting that you're on the show today and you're going through it.
Yeah, an extended period of it.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes. It's very, very difficult to cling to your faith. and I mean, sometimes it's just hard to get up every day.
Yeah.
And get out of bed and go do what you need to do.
Exactly. Well, because things aren't working the way we want them to work, right?
Right, yeah. And it seems like nothing's working.
Right.
You know, it's just a question of holding on and clinging to that faith, because God isn't gone.
No, he's not gone.
He lives in us.
Well, and some people...
He can't leave.
No, he's not leaving. And some people may be thinking right now, well, if God's such a loving Heavenly Father, why would there be times in our lives where we can't see him or we can't, I mean, not necessarily literally see him, but I mean, see him working in our lives or hear his voice or him giving us direction. Pastor Jim, give us some insight here in this. I love this whole part of hiddenness here.
Well, I would just, you probably saw me flipping.
Yeah.
In Matthew and Mark, at the resurrection, Jesus told the women, go tell them to go to Galilee.
Oh,
so
right.
after he spent that first week, apparently then they all took off for Galilee. So they were doing what God told them to do. And sometimes we do that.
Right.
You know, while I'm here.
Now what?
Now what? Now what do you want to do? And that's where they fell into doing, well, I'm here, I might as well fish. That's what I know.
Right.
And yet, again, they caught nothing.
They caught nothing.
You know, they did what was comfortable. It yielded no results.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then this stranger on the beach tells them to cast their net in on the right side. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just interesting that they stayed up all night. I mean, I'm not a fisher person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Fisher person. I've really never heard that word. Have you, Cindy? I'm not a fisher person.
You know, I'm not a fisherman.
I like it.
I guess that's just male or female.
Right.
It's a fisher
Anybody
person.
Who fishes.
Right.
You know, I mean, I went fishing as a kid in the creek. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm done with this after about an hour.
Right.
I don't get how they could stay out all night and not catch anything.
Not catch one.
If I was sitting on some stump along the Brandywine.
Right.
Then, and I didn't catch anything, I'd be picking up my rod and going home.
Well, but isn't this interesting? Because they could have had just a little, just a few fish. But it's extremely significant to hear it to me here. That they caught absolutely zero, because that shows God was keeping them from catching anything.
And think about one of the first times Jesus met Peter in the first place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We've been out all night, and you want us to go back out again?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what did?
Yeah.
What happened? They did. And
they got all these fish.
And the same result.
Mm-hmm. So let's bring it down to our listeners' practical living here. So often we have been praying for something, standing in faith and believing, and we know that God says he's going to come through. We know that our circumstances are going to change. And I read something Graham Cook said again, Cindy, this week, and it just hit me. I guess I read it yesterday. Stop looking at the circumstances. Focus on Jesus, not the situation. And talk to us, Cindy, because we all get hung up focusing on the circumstance and on our situation, do we not?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not like they hadn't tried the right side of the boat before during the night.
No, they probably had.
I'm thinking they tried every single angle. And
let's go to the front of the boat. No, let's go to the back of the boat. Let's go to the right.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. Okay, Peter, you stand at the front on one foot, and John, you raise your left hand back in the back, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
You know, so it's, and then he comes along, and not only is saying, hey, you know, try it again, but he's telling them, try it over there again, where you've already tried probably multiple times through the night. And that's when they had their breakthrough.
But, okay, let's talk about that. Because in the time of the waiting, You said you're in one of these times, Cindy. I've been in that many, many times in my life, especially last year, for many, many months. And it seemed like I could not break through into all those promises that he said were mine, you know? And when we are like that, address that, Cindy, then we'll go to PJ for that, because that's those times of hiddenness. Talk to us.
It's very hard not to focus on circumstances. We as humans are extremely affected by our circumstances. You know, where we live, our job, our transportation situations, our financial situations, they have a huge impact on us. And it's difficult to continue to pray the promises that you've been given when you see no indication that anything's changing.
It's hard to persevere. Is that what you're saying?
It is.
Hard to endure?
Yet we can all look back on times when this has happened before, and it boils down to he promised and he's faithful.
It does boil down to that. Go, PJ.
Well, and you know, sometimes these times of hiddenness can give us an opportunity to look and see what's inside of me.
Good point.
What maybe is there something, you know, and it may not be. It may just be God in his infinite wisdom is having you wait for whatever reason. But sometimes there's something in us that God wants to work.
Yes.
That will bring the breakthrough.
Right.
You know, I saw it on Facebook. Not that I trust everything that's on Facebook, but I do know this one to be true. Abraham waited 25 years.
Right.
The Jews waited 400 to get out of Egypt.
Right.
They waited, 700 years for the Messiah.
Right.
You know, so
we have a hard time waiting 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. Well, we're such an instant society.
We are.
And so it does, I mean, just we're kind of ingrained in us not to have to wait. But sometimes God needs to work something in us.
Oh, absolutely.
Before what we've been believing for will come to pass.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've heard, you know, I've read, I forget who said it, maybe Kenneth Copeland or one of them, but, you know, sometimes God's going to take care of that spirit of bitterness before that physical healing is going to come along.
That's exactly right.
Because the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of wrath, that, you know, you can be healed of ulcers, but if you're full of wrath, chances are you're going to get them again.
Exactly. And it's in that hiddenness times or the waiting period in God's waiting room where if we will just listen to the voice of the Lord and get quiet and stop the ranting and raving and screaming to God. I heard somebody told me this week, I'm hoarse this morning. I said, why? Well, I screamed and yelled at God for a long time last night. Really? Why? Well, this hadn't worked and that hasn't worked and I want this and I'm not getting that and on and on and on. And I just let her go on and on and on and listen. And well, it's probably because none of that was good for you.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Well, you're telling me reasons why it's not good for you, but you're screaming at God because none of it worked out. And a lot of times we are a product of our own making. We are in a situation because we got there because we wanted that so bad. And we wanted to, you know, be married, let's say, so bad that the first good-looking chap that came along, we said, okay, all right, this must be God. All right, that's me. And a lot of people have gotten into wrong relationships and because of their neediness and their hurry up, You know what I mean, PJ?
Oh, absolutely. Been there.
Of course,
done
you
that.
Did that.
Been
I know.
There, been there, done
He's
that.
He's saying me in here. Not meaning me, meaning him. Because
No.
Yeah.
Couple of times when I should have known, you know. But again, it's the devil plays on our fears.
He does. And, yeah.
You know, we'll take substitutes for the real thing. Because that's, you know, again, we want to be loved. We want to be a part of something.
Yes.
We want to belong. And, you know, we'll take substitutes for that. And, you know, that again gets us into trouble. If you know, we, like you said, a relationship, if we think we have to be married or in a relationship, we'll take the first person that comes along.
Right.
And that could be really injurious to us, especially our, you know, our spiritual health.
And if we rush into things and don't wait on God,
then we will reap the consequences
of the rushing.
And it's kind of, you can't, you know, God gives us free will, darn it. And sometimes our free will gets us into some serious trouble.
And then we are crying out to God, just like these guys right here. They are fishing all night and they got nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I want to do this song and then I'll get back to you both for your comments. So keep your thoughts right there. It's Casting Crowns, Just Be Held. What does that have to do with this topic right here?
Just let God hold
Just
you.
Just let God hold you. Jump up in his arms like you would your daddy. Because your daddy God wants to hold you right now, whatever you're going through.
Hold it all together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. If your eyes are on a storm, you'll wonder if our love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted, in time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes, your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. World's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Lift your hands, lift your eyes. In the storm is where you'll and where you are, I'll hold your heart, I'll hold your heart. Come to me, find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. World's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding
on. Oh, I love this song.
Just be held. Just be held.
let him hold you right now, dear one. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. And so often, Cindy, we have to go through that time of wondering where God is. Has he deserted me? Is he gone to Paris? I've said that many times because I have felt that many times in my life. Where is he? Why did he leave me? What did I do? You know? And the older I get and the wiser I hope that I get in the things of God, the times of hiddenness just bring us and propel us more into a need for his presence in our lives, which causes us to listen more if we will just be held. Cindy, right. Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we were talking about earlier, about a lot of times our bad choices get us into our predicament. The enemy knows us. He knows what we like. He knows people we're attracted to. He knows activities that we enjoy.
Yep.
He knows what makes us tick, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a counterfeiter. So he will bring people and activities and opportunities that appear on the surface to be from God.
Right.
And if we are not close enough to the Father, we don't have that discernment and that wisdom and knowledge, then we fall for it. And
it's easy to fall for it, yeah.
I have talked to many friends about, you know, anytime some new something, person, opportunity, whatever comes into my life, I immediately question it.
It's a good point,
start praying
really.
About it.
Yeah.
Because this looks great. This is amazing, but is this from God? You
right.
know, and you have to put prayer into it. You have to put energy into it, and you have to go to the Word and go, okay, you know, is this really from Him, or is this the devil trying to trip me up again?
That's a good point. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, we get into those patterns where we accept the bondage that, well, we just get used to it.
Right, we get used to it.
You know, I mean, I just finished reading Judges, and it's the most woeful little refrain in there.
Right.
And Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord handed them over.
Right.
Then they cried out.
Right. The same thing.
Yeah, same
it's
refrain.
Humanity. We do this over and over again, don't we?
Right.
Well, again, mm-hmm. it's that comfortable thing.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I don't know why the Israelites kept turning to the false gods. Maybe it was because everybody else around them worshiped mm-hmm. those false gods. Even though they kept seeing the Lord do wondrous things.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think of Gideon and Samson,
right.
even. And yet even, I mean, people today, they see miracles and they just poo-poo it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or
they go back to the old habits, you know.
Well,
we're creatures of habit.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. We are creatures of habit. We're creatures of what keeps us comfortable.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when God really loves it, when we live, I believe, in the suddenly moment, when we live in the mm-hmm. in the surprises, God, do what you want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm excitedly awaiting, seeing what it's going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier my son Ryan and his wife Mary are having their sixth baby at Christmas time, and they've decided, and they may change their mind, but right now they've decided that they're not going to find out what it is prior. They had all the genetic mm-hmm. tests. Everything's fine because they're just a little older. So everything's fine with the baby. That was a praise report, by the way, PJ, that happened this week. We're excited about that. But, you know, we're not going to know probably, or at least any of us are not going to know until that baby yeah. comes. And so often we don't want those surprises. We like to know what's going to happen in our lives. We want to know what tomorrow looks like. We want to know what God's doing right now. And these guys, they're out there fishing all night doing something familiar, and the odds are they would have caught a lot of fish at night, let alone catch nothing, which shows us that there are times in our lives that God allows the nothing times to draw us right back into his arms.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, because, you know, they did what was familiar. It didn't work. And then there's this figure on the beach.
Right. We're going to get to him right after this station ID in just a minute. So before we go there, and then we're going to talk about the stranger on the beach, you got to stay tuned for that because it is really a fascinating story. I love this. The stranger on the beach. So for those of you that maybe are new to the ministry of Beacon of Hope, wherever you might be around the globe, we are in our 17th year, almost ready for an anniversary this fall. And on September 23rd, we will be celebrating our 17th year as a ministry, starting our 18th. And we will also be celebrating our 600th show. This show will hit number 600 on September 23rd. PJ, you want to comment on that and what this show means to you, perhaps?
Well, amazing. I mean, I've been doing the radio show for, what, eight or nine years
yeah,
now.
We're in our 12th year on the air.
And I love it. I look forward
Cindy,
to
you
doing...
love it too, don't you?
I do. It's something I prayed. I've needed an opportunity because I felt like, God, you've downloaded so much into me and given me knowledge, and I don't have anywhere to share it.
And you're doing it, and God does download, yes, from his major computer in the sky. Go ahead, PJ, but good point. Go ahead.
Well, same thing. I mean, what an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, we don't know who we reach. We may not know until we get to heaven. It'd be like Ray Bolts' song, Thank You. And that's okay. But, you know, if one person is changed each week that we're on, think about that. That's 600.
Fantastic.
That's going on 600
people right there.
So,
right.
You know, that's a miracle in itself. And besides, I like to talk.
But you know what? We do like to share our faith. We do like to teach our audience what we have acquired through these years of walking with the Lord. The three of us here for most of our lives, if not all of our lives, pretty close. And it's important to be able to share that. You can catch old shows, and there's hundreds of them on our website. If you have a pen, write this down. It's www.bohmglobal.com. It stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, but we shortened it a few years back. So it's very easy to find, bohmglobal.com. And go there to our website. The bottom of the first page will show you a radio broadcast. You can open them up, and there's tons of them. Just go, and a lot of them have titles on. Also, you can always go here to tantalknetwork.com, go to the podcast tab, and go to Living the Good Life, the name of this show, and you will find a whole lot of shows right here on Tantalk Network in the podcast page. You can also go there and find our Thursday night show, tantalknetwork.com, podcast, go to Go Yard. It means hitting a home run in life. It's the show that me, with my other name, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel, we do a counseling show every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. We have tackled so many topics in the almost 4 years we've been on the air on that Thursday night one-hour show. It's all about living better. It's life coaching. It's counseling. Dr. Angel's a licensed mental health counselor and a Ph.D. So me pastoring many, many years now, we have a lot of counseling insights that will help you right here.